And would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? I want to go to the 77th Psalm and verse 10. And I might just read on for a few verses there. I'll read from the New Living Translation. And I want to share with you what I believe is the word of the Lord for this year and for this house. I felt the Lord speak to me even when I was off to the side when you were worshiping. By the way, praise and worship team, that was strong. That was listen. I know some, you know, I know sometimes when we're, you know, up here, you know, when we're trying to get people worship God, somebody come up here and be like, this isn't a concert. But let me tell you, it might not be a concert, but the excellence, it's like concert level here, ladies and gentlemen. Woo, those singers and the musicians, I want them to get offended, but those singers. A few times I was worshiping, I'd stop and be like, do it again. And she would, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Psalm 77, 10, the Bible says, forgive me, I said New Living Translation, but I'm going to read it that way, and then I'm going to quote the King James. It says, and I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand, in the New Living Translation, the Most High has turned his hand against me, but I will recall all you have done, O Lord, and I will remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. The King James Version says, this is my infirmity, but I'm going to remember the years of the right hand of the Most High God. Amen. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for what you're doing and for what you're about to do. I ask you, use me for your glory. Let everything I say and everything we do bring glory to your name. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. There is an understanding in my house with my friends, my relatives, and anyone around me that anything that happens can and probably will be used in a sermon, especially if I think it's sermon worthy. I've preached about report cards. I've preached about marital, not issues, but fights. Amen. No, of course, only when I'm wrong. And so I'll use anything in a sermon. And today's sermon is inspired by a dinner that I recently had with one of my relatives a few weeks ago. Wanted to go to dinner with me and said they wanted to talk to me. In case that relative is watching, it's not you, it's someone else. And so we went to dinner, and that relative sat across from me at the booth and said, I need to say some things, and I just need you to sit there and be quiet and listen. Listening is not my specialty, hence why I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist because I like to talk. And so he said, The relative said, I just need you to sit there and listen and let me talk. And the relative said, I'm going to say some things that I don't think you're going to like, and I know you're not going to agree with, but I just need you to listen. I said, okay. I said, don't talk. So the relative began with this line. The relative said, I don't know if prayer works. I almost choked on the chicken wing. I scooted just in case lightning was going to fall from heaven. I'm weird. I get nervous. I asked Brother Jude about 5 minutes into the service. I had my eyes closed worshiping, and I opened my eyes, and I saw like this cloud of smoke hovering. And I'm like, ooh, we are having a spiritual manifestation. The glory cloud is here. And then I said, I better check it just in case, so I don't look dumb. I said, Jude, y'all got a smoke machine? He said, yeah, it's like the smoke is stuck halfway. So I'm glad I checked with him before I came and prophesied glory clouds over the church. But I was scared and nervous that lightning might hit that restaurant. So I'm like, oh, God, please have mercy. I didn't say it. If you're going to strike someone, strike the relative. Leave me alone, Lord. I didn't say it. And that relative proceeded to say, I don't know if prayer works. He said, I know that we pray, and it's not that I'm doubting God, and let me put my disclaimer out here. I don't think my relative's lost. I just think they're in a bad spot right now where they've just been going through some stuff, and the relative proceeded, and I just don't know if prayer works because I've been praying and praying and praying, and I don't see anything changing, and do you know the kind of, do you realize what the last few years have looked like for me. Do you know how many car accidents I've been in? And five. Because I'm not supposed to talk. And I've been through this. And do you know how many times I've had to move? And do you know about these people? And just going on, he talked, the relative talked about friends. The relatives talked about things that have happened in life. And the relative just went on and on. By the time the relative was done, I was looking for a hotline that I could call. I mean, it was just piling on. And this and that, and just kept going on, and about 20 minutes plus of just this and this. I mean, it just, and when the relative finished, said, okay, you're going to say something? I said, well, if I may. He said, please. I said, all right, here we go. There's two sides to every story. I knew you were going to say that. I said, well, hold on. Just give me a minute. I said, well, no. I knew you were going to go there, and you were going to blame me, and you're going to throw it all in my face because I did this and I did that. I said, whoa. I said, number one, I rebuke the spirit of condemnation off of you right now because I wasn't going to blame you for a thing. I said, when I say there's two sides to every story, what I'm trying to tell you is that there's two different. Maybe when you're not living through it, you can see it from another vantage point. And what I'm trying to say to you is that you should have other perspective. And so the relative said, okay, explain to me what you say, what you're trying to say. I said, okay, how many car accidents did you say you've been in? And the relative said five. I said, so you see it as this curse and everything is wrong with you. I said, look at it from the other perspective. You survived five car accidents. You should have died in at least three of them, but you're still alive today. And I know you're upset that you had the accident, but I'm celebrating that you're still living after. I said, I don't know anybody else that's ever been in five car accidents, but you're alive. And that relative said, no, you're trying to spin it. I said, no, you really need to see the perspective of it from the other side. I said, you still have a driver's license after five accidents. You still have car insurance. I don't know how you have car insurance, except that God must favor you. He must love you, because I don't think State Farm, Allstate, or even the General would cover someone with five car accidents. It's all about perspective. I said, how many times did you say you've moved? How many different houses have you lived in? And this relative just started spitting it out. I said, I know people that have never had a house in their life. They've never left the state that they've lived in. But you've lived here and you lived there. And I was trying to make the point to him. It's all about perspective's sake. You see everything wrong that's gone for you. You see everything bad that's happened to you. But I see someone that's a survivor. I see someone that's lived through hell and high water. But somehow, someone, God has made a way. God has been there. God has protected. If there's anybody that's got a guardian angel, it's you. And so I come to preach to Covington today, because in this room there are people that have lived through some stuff in 2024. Let's not even go back to 2004 or 94. You shouldn't be here today, but somehow and some way God literally made a way where there didn't seem to be any way, and we're covered. And we're still carrying the hurts, and we're carrying the grief, and we're carrying the questions about why me, and why did I have to go through that? But I come to give you another perspective. You survived 94. You came through 04, and somehow 2024 should have destroyed you and damaged you, but yet you're still standing by the grace of God. And I come to tell you, you got a reason to rejoice. You got a reason to celebrate. You got a reason to have faith today, because God is on your side. How do you know? Because you're still here. Give him praise in the house today. You're still here. I don't know why you had to live through everything you did in 2024. I don't know. For some of you, it was the best of times. For others, it was the worst of times. Someone should write that in a poem. But you made it through. You stand here January of 2025, and some of you are talking about your wounds, but I see scars. Scars are the testimony of wounds that have healed. And I'm here to say that wounds are healing at the beginning of this year, but you'll have a testimony of what God has done. Now, I have high faith. I like to believe I have high faith.
I believe that I have great faith. I like to believe in the word of faith and decreeing and declaring. But you can be full of faith and still live through junk. And one doesn't cancel out the other. I think there is a faulty understanding of what faith is. Faith is not denying the circumstance or the issue. Faith does not require you to live in denial. Okay? In fact, I think it takes more faith to acknowledge this is what I'm going through, but I acknowledge that God is greater than what I'm going through. And we have biblical precedent for what we're saying out of the book of Psalm chapter 77, where he said, "This is my infirmity." The difference between us and the psalmist is that most people would put a period there. This is my infirmity, period. But in the book of Psalms, there's a semicolon. This is my infirmity. However, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High God. Anytime you see the right hand or the right arm of God in Scripture, it's speaking to the power, the authority, the dominion of God. When Jesus ascends into heaven, the Bible says, figuratively speaking, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That means that he is seated in dominion and power and authority. And the psalmist said, "This is my infirmity. This is my dilemma. This is my drama. This is my junk. This is my marriage. This is my money. This is my children. These are my bills. This is my dilemma and my debts. This is the emotional strain. This is the grief. This is the sorrow. This is the anxiety. This is everything I'm going through. But I'm going to remember, I'm going to focus, I'm going to put my hope on the years of the right hand of the Most High God. I'm not going to dwell here, I'm going to dwell on the right hand of the Most High God." How do you actually think that David defeated Goliath? I know you say it was with a slingshot, but I'll say it was with the word of his testimony, because he went to battle remembering the years of the right hand of the Most High God. He took on a giant testifying about lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. He went in the word of faith remembering the years of how God had protected him. And I'm of the opinion that God didn't deliver David from one lion or one bear. I got a hunch that it was many lions and many bears and many battles and many lonely nights that built his faith up, that when he saw a giant, he said, "If God did it once, God can do it again." And I feel like I can corporately prophesy to this room that God allowed you to live through 24 because there's victory in 25. And when the giants come to try to attack and they come to try to plunder, you're going to remember when God protected you from the lion and protected you from the bear, and you'll remember how God made a way out of 24, how he made a way out of a pandemic 5 years ago, and you'll say, "If God did it once, he'll do it again." So that relative has not invited me back out to have dinner. No, I'm just teasing. I said, you're going to have some perspective that God has made a way, that God has been with you, even if you didn't acknowledge it or understand it in the moment. When the Hoopers, there's many things that bonded us, but one of those things was the worst time of my life when my first wife passed away 9 years ago. And they were, everyone was, but especially Pastor Hooper was there every single day in the hospital those last several weeks of her life. And the day that she passed away, and I've told this story, and I may have told this story here before, but the day that she passed away, I was getting into an elevator to go down, and the main surgeon that had been with her and had treated her caught me before we got on the elevator, and, "Mr. Swires, I'm so sorry for what's happened." And he said, and again, this is a surgeon. He's supposed to be, extremely, uberly smart, okay? Sometimes smart doesn't always understand the moment, though, okay? And so, it's not even been an hour. And I'm getting on an elevator to go down to a waiting room, and he said, I'm so sorry, and I know this probably isn't the moment. It wasn't the moment, okay? It wasn't supposed to be the moment. He said, I need to ask you, I don't know how you can have so much faith in a God when all of this just happened. He said, I saw the faith that your family showed and how strong you are. I just don't understand how you can have faith in a God that would allow this to happen. Now, I wasn't ready to give a theological dissertation on faith and trusting the Lord. It wasn't the moment. I didn't feel preachy in the moment, okay? But I got a quick answer. Whether it was just my memory of what I know about God or God put a word in me, I said, well, doctor, we're stewards. He said, I don't understand the word or the concept. I said, well, I said, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. I said, she was someone's daughter, but they allowed her to become someone's sister. And then from being a sister, she became someone's wife. And then she became my wife, but she became a mother. All down the line, someone had to share her. We had to be stewards of the gift, and we had to share the gift with someone else. I said, but before she was a mother and a wife and a sister and a daughter, she belonged to God. And so freely as we receive, freely we had to give her back to her creator. And I said, it will hurt and there will be lonely nights, but I'm choosing to celebrate and to thank God for the days and the months and the years that we did have. What was I doing? That doesn't diminish my pain. It didn't diminish my sorrow, but I was deciding I'm going to remember the years of the right hand of the Most High God. I'm going to celebrate that God was good and that there was good days and there were good years and there was three beautiful children. I'm going to thank God for what he did in that time. And now I stand here 9 years later. I'm 44 years old. 50 is just stretching, creeping up behind me, doing its jumping jacks, getting ready to overtake me. I can feel it in my sciatica this very morning. But as I stand here today, when you ask me, how could you still preach faith? How can you still believe that he does miracles? Because I made a decision. 2015, my father died. 2016, my wife died. But at 44 years old, I had 2 years of hell, but I got 42 plus years of the goodness, the mercy, the blessing of God. And I just made a decision. I'm not going to lose my salvation. I'm not going to lose my faith over two bad years, because I got a trajectory of the goodness, the mercy, and the blessing of God. He has been good to me. He's been wonderful to me. And I can stand here today and say, I have chosen to remember and celebrate the right hand of my God. Amen. Say, well, what does that have to do with us today? Well, thank you for asking. When I was standing over there, you were worshiping, I heard the Lord speak to my spirit, and he said, you tell them that in this year they're to pray with their eyes open. I said, that's different. And he said, figuratively speaking, tell them to pray and expect the answer to be there. The battle, I am very careful with corporate prophecies, because everyone in the room is going through something different. Everyone here is going through different things. But I feel to prophesy to the house that this year, specifically this year, you are to pray with your eyes open. You are to pray and you are to expect to receive the answer to your prayer. Can I use a little bit of a cheap analogy for a moment? I am a preacher. Is that okay? I might not ever use this analogy again, but this is actually what I saw in my head when I heard the Lord speak that word to me, and he say, pray with your eyes wide open. I saw six-year-old Tony Suarez in the 80s when G.I. Joe released a special edition toy of William the Refrigerator Perry. Okay, some of y'all know who I'm talking about. They made a special limited edition G.I. Joe of the fridge, okay? And I lived in Chicago. You couldn't find that thing anywhere. And for the younger ones in the house, there was no internet. You had to go to the store. I mean, you could maybe get a catalog and call a number, but you had to actually physically walk in the store. And I walked into Toys R Us so many times disappointed that thing wasn't there. I'd walk in, and then I remember one time, and now you could tell I got issues. I would walk in and not just walk in like the other kids and rush in down to the GI Joe aisle, I would walk with my eyes closed. Because I want, and I'd get right to, and you know, I'm just weird. You know, I'd have to, you know, feel my way around, but I'd get to where the G.I. Joes are with my eyes closed. And so many times that thing wasn't there. And we went to a little pharmacy there in Villa Park, Illinois, that had a little toy aisle. And one day, I was like 6 years old, I just walking. I said, probably won't work here, but let me try. And I went down that little aisle with my eyes closed. And I opened my eyes, and there he was. And I shrieked, Mom! She ran over, thought something was wrong. I'm like, it's the fridge. I saw myself over there as that little kid walking with my eyes closed, but I opened my eyes, and the thing that I had wanted for so long, can't explain why, in the least likely of places, not the big box department store, not where it should be, but in this little place where I never thought the answer would come, there it was. And the Lord said, prophesy to the church Covington and let them know this year they're to pray with their eyes wide open, because I'm going to do what they've been asking me for. I'm going to answer that prayer. This is the year. I don't know why it didn't work in 24. I don't know why it didn't work 10 years ago, but this is the year of the answered prayer. This is the year of breakthrough. This is the year where you will see the reward of your sacrifice and your prayer. I don't know why specifically 2025 is that year, but I do know that the Lord said to prophesy to the Hannahs in the room, to the Hannahs that have been praying and praying and praying, interceding and interceding, and you have yet to see the miracle child. You have yet to see the breakthrough, and you have been ridiculed by Phinehas, and you have been, your faith has been downplayed by Elkanah, and the religious systems have said you are too much, but he says, prophesy to the Hannahs, pray and pray and pray, because I'm about to give you the miracle that you have been believing for. He said, tell the Hannahs to figuratively get their miracle cribs ready, because the miracle baby is going to come in 2025. He said, you tell the business owners to work on the new logo, because this is the year of another stream of income. Tell the authors, tell the artists to get the manuscript ready, to get the paint on the paper, to put the words on that Google Doc that you've been writing, because I am reigniting your creativity. And he said, you tell mothers and fathers to start fluffing the pillows and washing the sheets, because I'm going to cause your children to come home this year. This is the year that God makes the wrong right. This is the year of the answered prayer. This is the year that God flexes his mighty right hand in your favor, and you're going to have by the time the year is over, saith the Spirit of God, you will not be praying the same prayers that you're praying this month. By the time this year's over, you're going to be celebrating, dancing, shouting, and rejoicing, because God is going to answer your prayer. I'd shout if you believe it. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now I'm telling you, I'm not just speaking to you, I'm prophesying to myself. There are some things I've been believing God to give me breakthrough, and I haven't seen it in the last few years, but I'm believing this is the year of the answered prayer. And I'm waking up every morning, and that's how I've been praying. I said, Lord, thank you that this is the year of the answered prayer. Thank you that this is the year of breakthrough. And Lord, this situation that I've been dealing with, I thank you that this is the year that it's going to finally break through. I thank you that this is the year I'm going to see the end. That's how you're to pray this year, ladies and gentlemen. Don't just make it a grocery list of begging and saying, God, please, please, please. But say, God, I thank you in advance. I worship you in advance. I praise you in advance, because I know, I just know. I don't know if it's coming in July, February, or August, but by December the 31st, 2025, I just confess with my mouth that my prayers are going to be all answered, and breakthrough. Breakthrough is coming my way. He said, prophesy that 2025 is the year of the answered prayer and breakthrough. I said, Lord, I am, and this is my conversation. Lord, I am,
I don't know everyone. I don't know what they're all going through. I want to have respect to the prophetic, okay? I want to have respect to the word of the Lord. And he said, this word will be for those that will come into agreement with the word. So when you say it's not for everybody, it's for those that will come into agreement with the word. Agreement with the word. I'll give you one more example. Different relative, okay? My son, hallelujah, we had a hurricane in Tennessee. Did you hear about that? I lived in Virginia Beach for 15 years, lived through four hurricanes. The worst thing that ever happened was the lights flickered one time. I moved to the mountains. I live over there with Davy Crockett and whoever invented that knife that was buddies with him. I live over there in the smoke. Which one? Oh, I thought somebody said the name. I can't ever remember who it was. David Bowie? No, that's a rock and roll guy. Who's it? Jim. David's cousin Jim. Jim Bowie and Bowie. I don't know. Someone that made a knife and then Davy Crockett from the Disney movie, you know? I live in the Smoky Mountains. Never, ever did I think I was going to get hit by a hurricane. Boy, did we ever. And my son was driving home from work and hydroplaned. And, you know, you get the insurance. God bless the insurance. And the insurance and the mechanic. They had that car for over 3 months. And the crazy thing about the car is there's no body damage. You look at that car and that car looks beautiful. It was all the inside that was messed up or the under, whatever it was. Over 3 months, and every time I'd call, and I didn't want to be extra, so I'd only call once a week. Every week I called, they'd say it'd be next week. Probably by next Monday is what they tell me. And Monday would roll around, and nothing. And so I'd wait till Wednesday. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Schwartz, but probably this Monday. Well, that thing happened for over 3 months. December the 22nd, they call and they say, it's ready. We went to pick that thing up, and it was banging and a-clanging as bad as the day we dropped it off 3 months prior. And I got the Holy Ghost, and I love the Lord, and I understand that we're the visible image of the invisible God, and we got to be nice to people because when they see us, they see Jesus. I understand all of that. Well, I forgot that day. Hallelujah. Woo, that day, my Colombian came out. And I might not be real tall, but I went full-blown George Jefferson on them. I mean, I'm just hopping, and I got a finger in their face. I mean, I just... Most people I yell at, I got to look like this. But I mean, I'm just going at it. Mr. Swires, you got every right to be mad. And I don't know how we're going to make it. Somehow we're going to get this thing fixed. It's December the 22nd. I know everybody's about to take the next 2 weeks off. Well, actually, now that I talk about it, I'm getting worked up again about it all. All I know is they called me January the 3rd. And January the 3rd, Cole and I went to pick up the car, and everything was right. Now, I could get caught up, and there's a part of me that wants to. I could get caught up. And why did it take you 3.5 months? And I could get caught up, and all I know is that in 2025, it was finally made right. And now, I believe that sometimes God will show you things or let you live through things to try to show you what he's about to do. And when I heard the Lord say that 2025 was the year of the answered prayer and breakthrough, and to not look back and try to figure out prior years, but to just live in the answer, I felt like even the thing with the car was the Lord showing me. I don't know why they didn't fix it in December, November, October, or September. I don't know. All I know is that January the 3rd, 2025, we finally had a car that was drivable and it was finally fixed. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to just swim in what went wrong before, you do you, boo, as my children taught me to say. But I'm just believing that this year, God's going to fix the cars. He's going to fix the marriages. He's going to fix the money. He's going to fix the nation. He's going to fix our children. He's going to fix society. He's going to handle those fires in California. I don't have all the answers, but what I do know is that God is going to answer our prayer. He's going to flex his mighty right arm, and we're going to end this year saying, look what the Lord has done. Musicians, if you'd come, because I'm getting ready to close this thing. Musicians and singers, if you will. I wrote it down as I heard him say it. He said, this will be a landmark year that my children will look back upon until the second coming, when I come to snatch my people from this earth. They will look back on 2025 and say, that was the year I got healed. That was the year of redemption. That was the year that my children came home. That was the year that everything shifted in my favor. That was the year that debts were paid off. That was the year that God did the incredible miracles that I had been believing for so long. This is the year. I don't, ladies and gentlemen, I am very, very careful with such prophecy, but I feel it so strong in my spirit that I have to release it. This is the year. This is the year. So you got to pray with your eyes open. You got to pray expecting to receive. You got to be like 6-year-old Tony walking down a toy aisle, believing that this time when my eyes open, what I've been wanting is going to be there right before me. You got to go. I'm telling you, I don't know why I feel to emphasize it right now. Mom, dad, grandma, auntie, uncle, whoever's in the house, start fluffing those pillows. Start washing those sheets. Get that treadmill out of that bedroom and set that bed back up. Now, don't even just wash the sheets, set the bed back up, because that child's coming home in the name of Jesus. And you're going to have to be like the father of the prodigal son when they come home. I know there's a lot of questions. I know there's a lot of hurt, but let's make a decision. We're going to have a full slab of ribs and we're going to celebrate that my son has come home. My daughter has come home, and I'm going to celebrate. I'm not going to attack the sin. I'm going to celebrate the redemption, because this is the year of the answer. Prayer. This is the year that the heiresses become the rulers. This is the year that you go from being next in line to the front of the line. And I believe that all year long you're going to see God flex his mighty right arm in your favor. You're going to have evidence of God moving on your behalf, moving in your favor. And by the time it is all said and done, we will say to God be the glory. This nation and this church, and I say this church, I mean this modern church, we have lived through some stuff the last decade, if you will. And I know some of us have been tired, but God is flexing his right hand for us. And make no mistake, what the answer is when blessing comes, do not give the credit to systems. Do not give the credit to women and men. All the glory and the honor must belong to him. I heard God. I was in Denver, back maybe in October, November, sometime around them, and I heard the Lord say to me, he said, remind my American church that I'm still the great I am. I am your healer. I am your way maker. And he said, I don't share my glory with men and women. I don't share my glory with governments and societies and systems of men and women. He said, I will bless you. I will heal you. I will make a way. The hope of this, there's so many people deceived outside of the doors of this building. They think their hope is in elections. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He's the only hope we've ever had. He's still the hope of the nation, the hope of the world. He's the only one that can answer your prayer. He's the only one that can make things right. And that mighty God is going to flex his mighty right arm and his mighty right hand for you. And he is worthy of all the honor, the glory, and the praise. This is the year of the answered prayer. I've heard several prophets referring to that scripture. Stand with me, if you don't mind, because I am actually going to land this airplane. I've heard several prophets here in the last few months refer to the verse that we've quoted so much. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked way. We've heard that scripture so many, many times. But the prophets are saying, there's another side to that verse. We usually only just quote that first, if my people humble themselves and pray. And we've been praying and praying and humbling ourselves and repenting of our sins and repenting. But the prophet said, there's another side to that verse. Then God, God says, then. And the prophets are saying, we're on the other side of that verse. We're at the then part. Then it says, I will restore your land. Then, God, we have prayed. Now, don't misunderstand what I didn't say. Don't pray, okay? But what I'm saying is, it's time to see the answer of God. We have prayed. We have humbled ourselves. We have repented for our wicked ways. We have come before the Lord, but we're on the other side of the verse. We're at the then part. Now God is going to answer our prayer. Now God is going to move on our behalf. This is the year of the answered prayer. And Church Covington, you are to pray with your eyes wide open in the name of Jesus.